All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. We're moments away from Cougar dating. But first, it's Cougar News with Gina
Now,
Grant.
From the 97.1 Newsroom.
Hey, Tim, Randy and I are converting my studio into a bed and breakfast.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
So what? I'll sleep in the bathtub.
Oh, Babo. Yeah, turn that mic on. There you go. Hey, can you turn Gina's mic on?
Hello, hello.
Yeah. Whenever we do the news with Gina, let's always turn her mic on.
Can we do every that? Time?
Yeah, every time.
Okay.
Is that cool?
I thought Fridays is supposed to be off at the beginning.
No. And by the way, thanks for the top 10 Letterman list. I nailed that one, huh?
What? That was the right one.
No, it was the wrong one.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Well, when'd you play?
I played the right one. I played 509.
And what it is? It was played again. Let me hear the beginning of it.
Oh, I played 1109, my bad.
Oh,
I played the wrong one. No, that was the right one for today, anyways.
Oh, Jerry, man. It must be Friday, man. All right, less betting, more working.
I'm going to delete 11. I'm going to delete all the old
ones. Thank you, dude. All right, Gina Grant, what's happening in the news, baby?
There is so much going on. Well, first and foremost, former basketball great and inside the NBA host Charles Barkley had a pretty decent prank played on him the other night during his show.
Is that right?
Yeah, Barkley was reading a live commercial for T-Mobile off of the teleprompter, and it seems his fellow co-host got him to say something he probably didn't mean to say.
Okay.
We have some audio of this.
All right, so they wrote on the teleprompter where, you know, people are doing TV, they read off of the screen, and they changed the words for Charles Barkley before he had a chance to read it. He already said it. Here we go.
Hey, this is Charles Barkley. I hope you're enjoying the NBA playoffs on TNT. And I hope you have enjoyed my T-Mobile Fave 5 list. I'm a dumbass.
That's so classic. I'm a dumbass.
I mean,
I'm a dumbass.
Really? You don't notice it says I'm a dumbass?
Well, like when you're reading it, cold reading it for the first time, I don't know. You know? That's so classic.
Pretty great.
I'm a dumbass. I'm a dumbass.
All right. What else is happening in the news, Gina Grant?
Well, in other celebrity news, famous for being famous celebutante Paris Hilton made another appearance on The Late Show with David Letterman this week. Hilton was on the show pimping her new clothing line, but these clothes are not for the human variety.
Oh, boy.
And we have some audio of this.
All right. David Letterman with Paris Hilton and her new line of clothing.
And you have, is there a line of clothing for dogs, too?
Yes, yeah. We do a line with Little Lily. Uh-huh. And we make dresses and cute little polo shirts.
Is that what this is here?
Shirts.
Yes. This is for a dog.
What is she, three?
Yeah, about 33.
Who dresses up their dog after about age four?
Little Lily.
Oh, man.
Jesus yeah. It's cute.
Ladies and gentlemen, and you wonder why the rest of the world hates us. There's your answer right there. And how much is this?
Like $40.
$40? $40 for a dog. And do you dress your dogs in this kind of
yes,
stuff?
Yes, I do. Yeah. They're my models.
They're your models. Well, it sounds to me like things are really going great.
They are.
They're my models.
They're my models.
They're your...
Oh, boy.
It's cute. They're my models.
Somebody has to correct that.
They're your models. Well, it sounds to me like things are...
They're my models.
Oof. Jeez, I don't know how you'd sit across from her at dinner with those S's, ma'am. It'd drive you crazy.
They're my models.
Oof. If you're a dog, I mean, it probably pierces your ears. All right, what else is happening in the news, Gina Grant?
Well, speaking of lazy S's... In the race to the White House, it's getting easier and easier for candidates to stumble during interviews due to a busy schedule and extreme lack of sleep. And Senator Obama is no exception to this. He also has a bit of a strange, kind of an airy S, I've noticed.
Yeah.
He was at a campaign rally in Oregon recently and let the crowd know that out of all of the 57 states he's visited, this one is by far his favorite.
I'm sorry, how many?
57.
57?
Yeah. Right. So we have a clip of this.
All right, here we go.
Because... You know, it is just wonderful to be back in Oregon, and over the last 15 months, we've traveled to every corner of the United States. I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go.
I don't know, man. President of the United States, 57. Get along.
Seven states.
Oh, Bobbo. Just when I warm up to this dude... It's just something I like, I don't know. If the guy doesn't know there's 50 states, Jesus.
I've now been in 50, seven states. I think one left to go. Alaska and Hawaii I was not allowed to go to, even though I really wanted to visit, but my staff would not justify it.
All right. So did he mean to say 47? I think he meant to say 47 with one left to go, and he wasn't going to go to Alaska or Hawaii. That makes sense. So he meant to say 47.
To every corner of the United States. I've now been in 57 states. I think one left to go. Alaska and Hawaii I was not allowed to go to, even though I really wanted to visit.
All right, that's what it is. He just screwed up. He meant to say 47.
Right.
Because that makes sense then. There's one left to go, and then he didn't go to Alaska or Hawaii. So 47 states. All right, I can support that.
Do you think he noticed that everyone started laughing, and do you think he wondered why?
Nah, I do that probably five times a night. You know, I say something stupid or I didn't mean to say it. And, you know, I get corrected once in a while. But, the other day when I said the Dodger game was, you know, they're down 11-0 in the sixth. That game was over 6 hours, you know.
The game today is live, though.
Oh, it is. All right. Fantastic. You have any money on it? What do you have money on tonight?
No, I don't.
Nothing?
Not on the Dodger game. No.
What do you got?
That's already over.
What teams do you have tonight?
I actually hit three baseball games today.
You did?
And
did you have a parlay?
Yeah.
A teaser?
Well, I had a round robin.
Did you win?
It's called a round robin. I got my money back. I had 20. It's basically 20. It's basically 23 team parlays.
There you go. All right, good for you, dude. And how much do you have on a parlay?
Well, it was 20 of them. I only had like $2 on each one, but it was 20 of them, so I got like my money back.
All right.
I had 50 total.
And you can enjoy a $2 parlay.
Well, it's still exciting. I had 50 total, and I got 57 back, so I still won a little bit, but I got my money back. That's all I care about.
Well, there you go. All right, congratulations. All right, anything else in the news, Gina Gray?
Yes, well, finally, a beloved member of the CBS family has taken the opportunity to interview one of the presidential candidates this
week.
Thank
you very much.
Our own Tim Conway Jr. was one of five CBS employees chosen to interview one of the three senators in the race. And we have audio of Tim interviewing Senator Barack Obama in its entirety, if you don't mind. And this is the first time anyone has had the pleasure of hearing this.
Okay. Now, let me tell you what this is, and we're only going to play it once, and we're not going to play it anymore. But CBS sent out an email to all the radio people. Everybody works for CBS Radio. They sent out a mass email. Everybody's on the air. They said, would you like to sign up? And we're going to pick five names to interview either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. And I said, all right. So I just like jokingly said, yeah, throw my name in there. Well, it turns out they picked my name last week. And this last Tuesday, I did an interview via satellite with Barack Obama. Now, remember, these are not questions I would have asked him. These are questions that were given to me. And these were questions that I was told by CBS News to ask them.
Tim, don't make excuses. I'm sure it's very exciting.
It's not. It's dull as hell. I mean, it's I don't even know why I did it. Next time, I'm not going to do it. It's embarrassing. And I'm not going to do it anymore.
Tim, you should be more proud. This is
like
the biggest thing in your career.
The only thing I'm proud of is that I was the only guy selected in Los Angeles to interview Barack Obama.
Well,
I was very proud of that.
Look who you beat out.
Yeah, I was very proud of that. And I also will keep this tape, and I can play it for my daughter if this guy ever becomes president. I can play it for my daughter and go, look, I interviewed the guy before he was president of the United States. So we'll play it for you once. And again, remember, these are not questions I wanted to ask him. All right? They were told... I was told to answer, to ask these questions. And it was myself. Wolf Blitzer was there from CNN.
Right.
He was going to come up next after me. And there was another guy there from San Francisco, from a radio station in San Francisco. And a couple other news dudes there. Another guy from CBS Television. And they sit you down in a chair. And you have 3 to 5 minutes with Barack Obama. That's all they give you. And it was nice, though, when he said, I mean, because he's a very personable guy. You know, I got to talk to him on satellite. And before you go on, you get a little chat with him, which they didn't record. I don't know why. But then when you go on, he's very personal. I don't know if he writes the name down, but he kept calling me by my first name. So I thought that was pretty cool, too. All right, here's my interview with Barack Obama. And again, I didn't want to ask these questions. CBS News told me to ask these. Here we go. Hey, hi, Mr. Obama. My name is Tim Conway, Jr. I'm with CBS News, and thanks for sitting down with us during such a very busy time in your life. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, now, I've got to ask you a question about this Reverend Wright. Lots of people are questioning why you hang out with this lunatic.
Well, my commitment, as I said, Tim, is to the church, not to a pastor.
Right.
And I think that's shared by millions of people who are going to church this morning.
Well, that makes sense.
You join a church community.
Right.
And Reverend Wright helped build a wonderful church community,
okay.
One that has been a pillar of good works in Chicago. And, Tim, you know, I feel a great loyalty to that church.
Right.
Reverend Wright was going to be retiring in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was important for me to maintain my commitment to that church.
Okay. Now, some polls have shown that you do well with Black Americans and the elite left, but there aren't enough people in those two groups to get elected.
Tim, I came into this thing with everybody anticipating that we would be blown away.
Right, sure.
And if I was worried about polls and,
right.
and you know, some of this analysis, I probably wouldn't have gotten in the race in the first
mm-hmm.
place.
Okay, well, now, you know what they did tell me? I mean, after I did this interview, they did tell me, the guy goes, is this your first time doing this?
Why?
And I'm like, yeah, I like a stupid sports going on. And I said, yeah, why? And he says, because you never talk through their answers. You
uh-huh,
let them answer.
Uh-huh.
You don't go, yeah, right,
sure.
Yeah, right. Oh, really? Yeah. He goes, you never do that, you idiot. You just let them, you know, respond. It's so disrespectful to do it. I said, well, why don't you want one of you a-holes tell me that before I go on? And they said, well, why? You shouldn't even be here. And they got a big fight with these two idiots. Now, this isn't my view, but some people have said that your wife and her father may reflect the values of Reverend Wright, and that's why we haven't seen or heard from your wife, Michelle, or your father, your father-in-law, in several months.
Tim, you know, when I think about her father, who worked as a shift worker for the city of Chicago.
So is that right?
Despite having MS,
wow.
Got up every single day, went to work, was able to raise a family and send his two kids to college
right.
and support a family of four on a single salary. I think about your father and the fact your dad, Tim, looked nothing like Michelle's dad, but they lived that same American dream.
Yeah, that's true.
They had those same core values. And those are the values of millions of people all across the country.
Well, I think you're right. Now, it seems like this Hillary Clinton is using scare tactics to beat you. You know, the phone ringing at 3 a.m., that whole deal. And I read a fact on the Internet that in the history of this country and the history of the White House, no president has ever had to make a societal changing decision at 3 a.m. without the input of all the cabinet members.
You're right, Tim. This defines, I think, the difference between myself and Senator Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely does. And one last question, Brock. I know that Wolf Blitzer here wants to ask you a few, so I'll make it short. But the generals in Iraq say that genocide is probable if we pull out too quickly. Now, will you consider this when you make your decision to get out? And do you think people in this country consider themselves Americans before they consider themselves Democrats or Republicans?
Tim, I would of course I would factor in the possibilities of genocide.
Right.
I factored it in when I said that I would begin a phased withdrawal.
Right.
One thing I'm absolutely confident about, Tim, the more I travel around the country, people don't think of themselves first as Republicans or Democrats. They don't think of themselves first as Black or white.
That's
they
good.
Think of themselves as Americans.
Right. Then they should.
And if we can tap into that spirit and that core decency and generosity,
right.
then we can solve healthcare.
Good.
We can solve energy.
Let's do
if
it.
We don't, if we're continuing to be distracted by the kind of games that we see typically
right.
out of Washington, then we're going to have missed our opportunity.
Excellent. Mr. Obama, thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time here, and I wish you the best of luck in November.
Thank you so much.
All right. There he goes. Very respectful. You know, I maybe I should be in the White House press corps.
Yeah.
I was so awkward. I was sweating my ass off.
Were you uncomfortable the second the words "let's do it" left your mouth?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. What the hell?
And Wolf Blitzer had to sit through this and watch you?
Wolf Blitzer was so pissed. He was sitting over my left shoulder and he's like making notes. And every time I asked him a question, he's like, oh.
Tim, you interview him like you're talking to your wife.
I know.
You really do. You're very casual.
What else am I going to do?
You know, everything he says, yeah,
Yeah, have a little respect for him.
You've not been listening to him.
I totally listened to the guy.
Then how come all you says,
let's
do it.
Like, yeah, all right.
And seriously,
right,
Tim, who did pick those questions?
They gave me those
Who's
questions.
Who's they?
The guys at CBS News. There's two guys there, two fat guys, and they're like news dudes.
Yeah.
And they said, here's the questions you got to ask Barack Obama. And I said, well, I have my own questions. And they said, well, let me see them. And I gave them a list of questions I have for Barack. And because I one of the questions was, hey, I know it's not until November for the big election, but are we going to find any, chicks come out who've you banged since you've been, married to Michelle? and the guy's like, dude, you're not asking Barack Obama that question.
Although it would have been a good idea for him to just get it out in the open now.
Yeah, you know? That's what I was trying to help him out.
See, you should have just done your thing. I can't believe you backed down to these guys. That's not like you.
I know.
It would be like you to
please.
Say, yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You would do the same thing. F you, dude. You do the exact same
Whatever.
Thing. You'd be nervous as hell.
No.
Your voice would be all cracky.
Yeah.
And, hi, Mr.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd just show them your cans. You'd be all crazy with them. You're like, oh, you'd be like, oh, you know what? I'm really into black dudes. You know, if you, anything ever happens between you and Michelle, I'd love to get in there.
Give me a call.
Yeah. See, you'd be all crazy.
Right.
And Randy would, you know, and Jerry,
kiss his
you,
ass.
Know, you guys would all kiss his ass and, you know, you sit there and you tell him how much you love him, how much you're going to vote for him and work for him.
I'd hit the issues.
Get out of here, dude. I hit the issues. I hit Iraq. I hit health care. I hit everything. Everything on the planet.
The real issues. Why did you even ask him about smoking?
That's
the reason
that's
you're
the second
for.
Question I was going to ask him. I had written down. I said, dude, hey, the nice thing about you going to the White House, finally we're going to get a smoker in the White House, and I'll be able to light a butt up in the Oval Office. And the guy from CBS goes, dude, you're not asking him that
yeah.
question. I said, why? I said, you know, he likes to smoke. I occasionally smoke. What the hell?
Hey, what was CBS News' response to your little interview?
They didn't have, it was pretty cold.
I mean, are they going to take your name out of the ring next time when something like this comes
I mean,
up?
Eventually the guys, you know, when I was done with it, one of the guys, one of the fat dudes, said, hey, good job, buddy. And then Wolf Blitzer sat down. And by the way, Wolf Blitzer had like 15 minutes with the guy.
Well.
I had like 3 minutes with the guy, and they like kept, you know, giving me that sign, hey, cut it off.
Do you think Wolf was wondering why he was following you? Like, wouldn't they want to get Wolf in and out?
No, because it was just a whole lottery thing. I mean, they had all five radio guys go on first, and then the TV guys go on.
Ah.
So when we were on satellite, it was, you know, we weren't on TV. We were on just the radio portion. So while they were fixing the television part, all those radio idiots went on. And I was very proud. I was like one of five guys, but I wouldn't have asked any of those questions.
Oh, God.
And I couldn't even read it. My skin was crawling. But I wanted to ask him about if he had any affairs, if he smoked. I wanted to, you know, talk to him about doing cocaine, because he admitted to doing cocaine. I wanted to, you know, see if he ever, you know, how often he did it, you know, what the high was like.
Right.
Did he do it with friends? Did he do it from, you know, through just through his nose? Or, you know, I wanted to get into it with him.
So this interview is definitely going in the vault now, right?
No, it's not going in the vault. And I miss jealousy over there. A little jealous that I got to talk to Brock.
Little jelly bread.
A little jealous.
Yeah, jealous.
Real quickly, Drew in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1.
Well, a lot of those questions Chris Matthews already asked him, but I thought on this particular interview, Barack Obama was kind of rude because, you know, he brought up your dad, but he didn't even mention Carol Burnett and company or Carol Burnett and friends.
Yeah, he should have done that.
I mean,
all
what's
right.
up with that?
All right. Yeah, Drew, please. Yeah, he did mention my dad in that interview. Where was that?
He's a fan.
Four on a single salary. I think about your father and the fact
that
your dad, Tim, looked nothing like Michelle's dad, but they lived that same American dream.
Yeah, talking about my dad. Look at that. I had no idea the guy knew who my dad was.
So is
your dad, Tim.
So what?
Is your dad supporting him? Is that why you said it?
Nah, I don't know. My dad doesn't vote. My dad, you know, he doesn't like, he doesn't talk about politics at all.
Your dad, Tim, looked nothing like Michelle's dad, but they live that same American dream.
Yeah. Hey, all right. Barack Obama, man. All right, anything else in the news, Gina Grad?
That's what's happening.
All right, the news with Gina Grad, everybody.
The news with Gina Grad.
Extra money, here I come.
Give us 8.5 minutes, and we'll give you 8.5 minutes.
All right. All right, when we come back, we have Carol coming in, and she's the cougar for tonight. If you'd like to date a 52-year-old woman who's 5'7.5", 140 pounds. You can see her picture, by the way. Hot picture, man, on our website. Go to 971freefm.com and click on Conway's Cougar Hookups and see Carol's picture. 971freefm.com. Get your phone calls in early if you're a young dude, want to date an older woman. She's 52, man, and hot. 520-9710, 888-520-9710. You're listening to the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM.